The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock live on YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast, why not join us live? Join in the comments. You know, we can have a nice lively discussion here. I'm joined by John. You all right, fella?
Yeah, not too bad. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Well, you know, yesterday was awful. The markets are dreadful. It's been dreadful for 2 years, let's be honest. Sooner or later, a bull market will come, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, I promise you. it's been an awful time. But and I saw some data out today, which is bad, but it's sort of good. And I say this, in fact, let's just check out the indices. By all means, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. And like, comment, share. The more your comments we have, of course, the more chat and interaction we can have. These are the rise and falls. Imperial Brands. So Rishi Sunak came out yesterday, talking about fags and all that. And banning fags for people above the age of 14. I thought they were illegal.
It's fantastic, that policy. Somewhere like in 2050 or whatever it is, 2040, you know, you've got a 56-year-old man walks into a shop and can buy some fags, and his 55-year-old mate is waiting outside for his mate to buy for him.
Sorry, mate. Can you show us your ID? You're 50, yeah, you're 55.
I think the general consensus is, whilst, you know, obviously anti-smoking measures are good, that is a fairly impractical policy.
It's a non-policy. You imagine that where that would get to in the end, John. Like, you have to be 99 to buy a pack of fags. Come on, I'm 99, I'm going to die anyway. I'm 98, sorry, you're going to be 99, okay?
Yeah, indeed.
So, rising, Imperial Brand, surprising, Tesco's up there, Entain, fallers here. The oil price is taking a bit of a hit. BP's down there, Shell's down, JD's Fashion Sports, Barclays, Anglo-American. But yeah, so if you look at the and I did say, I don't like to say I did say, but I did say a while back about the oil price, right? And I said, that rally is not sustainable. And look at it, it's come back down. A bit of support there. Look, that's pretty much, $88, broken down below that. So we never know what's going on. When you have the Saudis and the Russians in charge of a commodity, it's never going to be transparent as what's happening, is it? You know, you don't know what's really going on, who's actually selling, who's not selling, who's withdrawing supply. But I think I was chatting to a Russ Morgan last week, and he did say, it's not worth the Saudis' interests to have oil shooting up massively, because, you know, oil use will come down.
Well, you get demand destruction is the technical phrase.
Exactly. But this is the data I want to look at, right? I mean, it's come out today, and like I said, this is bad for the economy, but probably good for the markets, because remember, what we're looking at here is the central banks, the Bank of England, are looking at inflation. That's their data points. And when they see that coming down, and when they're choking the economy, they bring that down, they're choking the economy with high interest rates, you know, and you've been squeezed at both ends. It's like being in a shark pool and having your legs chewed off and then your head bitten off. Essentially, what's happening is, you know, everything's costing you more in the shops. And also, if you buy on credit cards, debt, anything like that, that's costing you more as well. And as companies, it's costing them more. But look at this. This is the construction PMI, Purchasing Managers Index, for September. Now, below 50 means the market is contracting. You know, it's not growing. The forecasts come in at 49.9, came in at 45. So again, the expert forecast is a way out. This one, though, I've never heard of this. But it's very surprising. It's housing equity withdrawal. Now, I thought, what is that? So basically, it's a change in the total value of money borrowed against the residential properties to be used for purposes other than a mortgage. So when people withdraw equity to do up their house or something.
Home improvements,
anything. That's dropped massively. And forecasts come in minus 14.5 billion, came in at minus 23.2 billion. So you realize people are not, bringing equity out from their houses. It's cost of interest, isn't it? And interest rates at the moment. And if you understand where that money would be going into home improvements, all that kind of stuff, and your DIY shops, local tradesmen, all that stuff, they are now not being paid that. So you understand the knock-on effects of the housing market alone. You know, it's scary. So, but that's good for, you know, like I said, Look at that. That is the year chart of that. Look how big that is. It's the biggest sin.
Nobody wants to add to their mortgage if they don't have to.
No.
So that it's fairly predictable.
Yeah, this is why I think we're coming to the end now. It's costing everyone lots of money, even the central banks. Like I said, last year, you know, the Bank of England or the government spent more on servicing their debt than they did paying for education, right? So housing, the biggest slump brings UK construction fall since 2020. Remember, 2020, we shut the economy down. There's no construction going on. So let's go back a sec. This is as bad as it was in 2009. We all know what happened in 2009. That was where the banks stimulated the economy and we came out of that bull market. So we're down at 45. So that's bad data for the economy, but it shows we're slowing down and that'll have a knock-on effect to inflation. That's why I think, John, we're in for a massive rally come Santa time. Otherwise known as Christmas. Santa time.
Santa time.
Now, I think we'll have a relief rally sooner or later. And then I think it'll roll over a bit because the economy figures are bad. And then I think it'll be similar to like, you know, the great financial crash of 2009, March-ish. I think from March onwards, we'll have a cracking bull market. The likes we've not seen in years.
There is going to be a turning point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think I was speaking to a veteran fund manager earlier today. Veteran, it's unfair. Very experienced fund manager.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Today. They implies
is he allowed,
old,
is he allowed
is
to buy fags,
case.
John? Is he old enough to buy fags yet?
Gee.
Yeah.
You know, and actually her observation is that, you know, there are a lot of outflows from the UK market. And actually a lot of the outflows are coming from sort of open-ended funds where, yeah, you know, there's redemptions.
Yeah.
They have to be satisfied some way. And it's just left the UK in this, and there's also a narrative that the UK is, you know, a weak economy, and that spills over into the, you know, the domestic market, the domestically focused FTSE 250, which it isn't entirely. And so the UK is just, you know, very, very out of favour. But then, yeah, you know, the negativity, you know, is reflected in falling share prices. But when a company comes out and says, actually, things aren't that bad and there's going to be no profit warning or no more downgrades, then you see a huge jump. And that's like we saw with Future the other day.
Yeah.
Being very good.
Exactly. You get that. You get, you know, you keep getting up these, you know, bad news and all that stuff. After a while, it can't get any worse. Or if it does, yeah, it's pretty much priced in. And in fact, look at the AIM All Share Day. That's been down from 9 out of 10 last trading days, down 47% in the last 2 years. And look at it today, though, up 0.01%.
Yeah.
That is really poor. Look at that.
Yeah.
If you zoom in, you can see it's a little bit still below 700, which is going back to 2016, taking out that COVID dash for cash crash, you know, sell off, which we all, everyone experienced.
Yeah, yeah. But it is ultimately at sort of aggregate level, it is about money flows.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
something that Jamie Constable at Singer, who we often speaks about macro matters. You know, he just says, look at the money, look at the flows. It's all about the flows.
Well, this is exactly why I was explaining yesterday, and some people don't get it. I was saying, you know, fundamental research is key for any stock. Then chart. Do you know why? That's money flow.
That's it.
It's net demand, net supply. That's all it's about. And the share price reacts to that, you know. Someone said, was it Phil? Said Victorian Plumbing. I did own some Victorian Plumbing. I don't know why. I just bought it because the chart looked good. I looked at the results.
Decent, actually.
It rolled over. But so they released news today, have they?
Trading update. They were a fairly unsuccessful IPO at the beginning. And, you know, again, it's something I looked at a while back. They basically came to market to you know, give a payday to their owners who were floating the business. And not a lot of money from that IPO went back into, you know, to the business, to funding future growth. And I, you know, that's always a warning sign, you know, with IPOs, definitely something to look out for. What are the plans for the proceeds?
Yeah.
And in the case of Victorian Plumbing, it was really a payday for the people that set the business up. And you know, that was reflected in this, you know, massively falling share price. I mean, it's actually a decent business. You know, there are a few of these plumbing businesses out there. What's the other one? Victoria Plum.
Yeah. Victorian Plumbing, though, I mean, that's, you know, they've been holding for a long time, since Victorian times. And if you want your house done in Victorian style, these are the guys that have it. Come along in their Victorian costumes. but no, I bought into this down here, where it broke the 50-year moving average, broke new highs. And I didn't have, and this is when I was going back in the market a little bit, because I was you know, this is after the big fall, and a couple of stocks rallied. SES was another one I got into, but I didn't have a big, SES rallied again from a massive fall off.
Yeah. This is the curious thing. This is the curious thing, you know, going back to that data that you pointed to regarding, you know, withdrawals from equity.
Yeah.
You know, that would imply that people aren't spending money on doing up their homes. You know, that actually the home improvement market is in for a very, very tough time. But I'm not sure those things are exactly related. You know, there are a lot of people in the UK that own their home outright. Mm-hmm.
More than mortgage owners.
So actually, you know, there is a very large cohort of homeowners who do so outright and are therefore sort of insulated from this, the goings on in the mortgage market and the interest rate environment to a large degree. And actually what you still have as a result of the pandemic is excess savings for those same people. And those people do have money to spend on home improvement and going on holiday and such the like. And so, you know, if this you know, this trend in, you know, falling equity withdrawals did suggest that there was weakness in the home improvement market, we're not seeing it in the trading updates of companies like Victorian Plumbing and Topps Tiles yesterday. So it is curious. There is a bifurcated market, and, you know, it does seem that the mortgage-free are winning and keeping the consumer economy afloat. So, yeah, a lot of doom and gloom out there. And I must admit, I fall prey to this sometimes. But but at the same time, there are supportive factors for the consumer environment and home improvement.
Yeah. Well, I'm a homeowner and I'm proud. I'm out and proud and a homeowner. But we keep saying, you know, it's going to be volatile, but there's a difference between the economy and the market. And, you know, when we get... The bad economic news is what the Bank of England wants. When they see this and that as a result of, you know, prices going down, people, it's choking the economy, that's what they want to see. And so when they see that and they have evidence of that, they'll start to unwind a bit. They'll have to. I mean, it's pain. The government's in pain. Everyone's in pain. So it'll be good for the market.
Oh, not everyone's in pain. That's exactly the point. You know, yeah, it's half the country that aren't in pain, that own their homes, and they're doing quite nicely. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let me know if you're in pain, ladies and gentlemen, on the comments there. Okay, let's go to the front page here. And in fact, Phil did say he got into Victorian Plumbing, top line up 6%, good insider ownership. He had a bit of profit, locked in a bit of profit there, sold, but maybe turned. Fredo, where have you been? Interesting. Fredo's back. What about the index? Yeah, I looked at the index. Yeah, in fact, someone asked about this yesterday. DEC, Diversified Energy Company, is an interesting case. Now supposedly yielding pretty much 20%. The company doing share buybacks daily, yet the price continues to go down. It's a FTSE 250 company. Yeah, either a huge bargain or going under. This is a really odd chart, this. And have you seen it? Let me just show the chart on DEC. Because someone did say yesterday, actually, I should have picked it up. What's happening with DEC? And if you look at the chart there, look at that. What is going on? Just draw that to me. I mean, if you put the volume on this, it seems like there's a false seller or something going on there. But if you look at the volume there, well, you will get more volume, you know, coming in when it falls off, but not a huge amount of big volume there. So they did come out with a statement, I think, didn't they? I think DEC today saying something like, nothing to see here, pretty much.
Yeah, basically that's what it says. I guess there's worries over the borrowing levels.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Which, well, it says, you know, but along with the announcement of the increase in the borrowing base announced on the 26th September, if you look at the numbers, let's have a look at the balance sheet. What's the net?
The borrowing base under the facilities.
At the end of 2022 is 1.46 billion.
Oh, there we are.
And it had been steadily rising.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. So let's look at that. So this is the interim statement, 6 months ended the 30th of June. Let's just scroll down. Hang on a sec. Why didn't you put the liquidity of 1.3 million and I was got net income? Where is I can't see anything about debt in there. Rusty Hootson.
Yeah. I don't know much about the company, but that's a fairly
it's one of my pet hates. Put your results in the release. I just don't want your highlights. I want warts and all, you know, because now I'm searching around here. It's on the website somewhere for their webs. Put it there. What are you trying to hide? That's my first reaction. What are you trying to hide? Put it on the website. Put it on the opening. Make it easy for people to read your fundamental research. Your fundamentals, your technical financials.
Well, it does seem that there must be for them to say. To talk about the borrowing base, there must be concerns about, you know, the share price must reflect concerns about the borrowing base. And it's, you know, it's very, very high. And I mean, it is forecast to fall over the next few years, but, you know,
well, hopefully, yeah. But trouble is, like I say, if you refinance it, there you have to go, they'd go here, report, and scroll down. And we all know if you have to refinance now, this is not the ideal environment. If it's a refinance, I'm not going to go in there because it's literally scroll down 60 pages. Yeah. I see. That's what I mean. That's hassle for me to do that. I never like a company doing that. Just be honest and upfront with what's happening there, please. Okay, let's look at some of the most read there. Look, Horizonte. You often see. I said this before. You often see traders on Twitter really shouting about their wins, very quiet about their losses. Ask them about the returns of the last 10, 20 years. That's what you want. Long term returns. That's what you want to know. Okay. Don't just base them on the one trade you've done well in. But Horizonte was up yesterday. It was 60%, John. So it was a good falling knife trade if he caught it the right time.
Yeah, to catch it. Well, that was the game, wasn't it?
But look, it's fallen a lot of times. When a company falls 60% in a day, right, you think, oh, that's a good falling knife trade. It fell 60% the day after as well. And so it did go up like 67% yesterday, but now it's down, 20% a day. So you are literally a couple of falling knives. There's one there that's not a falling knife. It's bouncing, and then it's falling again. Take your pick. Will you prefer to invest in a business improving with the trend is on your friend long term, or trying to jump in and out, scalp a couple hundred quid, couple of grand here and there, and largely you walk away with lots of cuts over time and end up dying and losing your account? So anyway, but again, it's the most followed company on Vox, Horizonte, and I think
another follow away Metro. It might need to raise some money by the looks of things.
Yeah, but this was flagged. I did say this on Twitter. The guy from Sky, is it Rob Kleinman, I think, or something like that, said apparently exclusive Metro in talks to raise lots of money, debt and equity. And the share price, look at it. Literally, you think.
It was
again,
a lovely idea.
Hey, hang on a sec. Have we looked at a chart just now that resembles this, right? For no reason. I'm not saying there is a fundraise, but DEC chart was very similar to that. And you're thinking, what's the reason for that? So the refinancing and all that stuff tends to happen when refinancing.
Yeah, a fundraise. I mean, you know, where there's lots of debt involved and minimal amounts of equity, then a fundraise is literally going to just wipe out the equity holders. So it's very very tricky. And I wouldn't go near them.
No. Again, what happens to the old thing about buying a company that's improving? The balance sheet is getting stronger. The operation is getting stronger. You know, the financial is getting stronger.
They are profitable on an underlying basis. But obviously, with banks, it's all about sort of regulatory capital. They do say that they are meeting their regulatory requirements. Yeah. It's a mess. It was a lovely idea, bank branches. And building a different kind of bank. I was a customer for a bit.
Were you?
Yeah.
I had a big discussion with people about this, and I said, if you look at anything, when you invest in companies, I look for long-term trends that you hope will get stronger in 10, 20 years, right? I don't believe having branches where people walk in and chat to people as a trend is going to continue. I don't think it's a big enough market because you've got a growing population who are used to the internet. The people who visit their branches would have been people like my parents, probably, and not that internet savvy. But sadly, they passed away. And so your market is slowly passing away, you know? And I think I hate going to chatting to people in the branch. I don't want to do everything online, everything. So I think where's the model there? So even based on that, but they do say they continue to be well positioned for future growth.
Yeah, it's a funny debate, this, Obviously, a lot of banks are closing branches, and there is the whole argument that a lot of particularly elderly customers want access to a bank branch. They like cash, they like face to face, and that you're disenfranchising lots of banking customers by closing branches. But then Metro, it sort of fell between two stools. It's quite strange. It was neither neither sort of a bank for those elderly disenfranchised customers, because most of its bank branches were in places like the City of London,
City Centre, yeah.
And therefore it's sort of I don't know.
I don't think there's a model. If I was a bank and I had someone bring me a business model saying we're going to cater to people who are nearly dead, no, don't do that because your market will be wiped out soon. If you want to do that. Bring it down to the saga, above 50s, cruising, all that stuff. You've got a bigger area there, and it's not just about one area. It's about different things, and insurance, cruises, all that stuff.
What they did have to do at the beginning, and this is why I was a customer, was offer really fantastic savings rates to attract customers.
But then they can't
and that's expensive.
That. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Each end doesn't make sense. So one of the most followed companies. It's a cracking... they've got the cracking product, Oxford Biodynamics. I did say, trying to avoid any chart movements that are excessive. Trying to avoid them. Everything in life, my mother used to say, right, everything in moderation, right? I think, okay, I agree with that. But moderation in life is very hard. It's very hard to have one pint of beer or one chocolate biscuit. If you can conquer moderation, you've got life sussed. Now, if you can conquer avoiding the excesses in the charts, that's it, from the big ups to the big downs, and avoiding those, then you've got it, because look at this. I did say there'd be better times to buy Oxford Biodynamics up here, and people are buying it up here. And now we've dropped how much from even that spike up here? Look, there are people buying at the top there, and now you've done 30% in the last few days. So this will calm down, honestly.
Yeah,
when they have to put out a financial report, and you realize that the revenue is very small, the potential is very big, but you get this hope high potential that rolls over when it ties at the tarmac when they have to bring the financials forward. They'll be like, oh, there we are, and it'll take the steam out of it. So I believe it's a brilliant product, huge market potential, but execution to commerciality is quite a long road. It's a long, bumpy road, and I know that because I invested in Polarian. Avacta, have you read about Avacta? Avacta is always well read because
they
well
are presenting at a conference with some data on some of their other drugs.
Okay, well,
that's that is the news.
At least they're getting out there and pressing the flesh and potential investors there. I assume, what is this? I assume some big pharma companies will be there, and it's always a chance to share your products and stuff.
Yeah,
something like Avacta's chart.
They do have, they've got a lot of IP in there, they've got a lot of potentially good drugs that they're working on. So it's good to see them sort of spreading their discussion around some other drugs, popping their lead chemotherapy target. But it's not a lot of news in there.
Horizonte, someone must be selling that, surely. Yeah, someone's one of the funds. I don't care. They're cutting. Is it a fund? FMR. They're cutting their losses. They're 3% down. Helium One. It's also one of the biggest fallers. It's in three columns here, Helium 1. It's in the most followed, it's in the most read, and it's one of the biggest fallers. So you can understand, operation update, something's gone wrong there. So, because if it was good, it would. So basically, they said the drilling rig has suffered a component failure within the main rig carrier in order to undertake the necessary repairs. It's going to take a bit longer now. So it's a delay, essentially. So it's not, to me, that's, maybe... It's always risk drilling for resources, oil, gas, whatever. But this is not a serious risk. It's just a delay in the drilling. So, it's not a bad thing. It's not as if it's not a dust or anything.
It's funny, Helium One keeps popping up on my social media feed.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been buying lots of party balloons recently? Do you need helium?
No. Lots of pictures for them on site, of the chief exec out on site doing stuff.
All right.
Or not, as the case may be. That update.
Look at that there. I mean, that there, you can see there, it's pretty much, there was support a couple of times. It's hit that level. Five pence bounced up there from 5, doubled to 10, come back down to 5, went below that, come back up, and then all of a sudden it's brought them down. So that's now a new range. It's an all-time low, by the looks of it.
Hop onto Helium on social media. You can keep track of what the company's doing in real time with full photographic updates.
I'm all right, thanks. I've got a life. Thanks. Predator, one of the most read again. Predator and Gas, Moroccan's update. Again, it's an issue here, I think, with the delay in one of the rigs. So they're moving around the schedules. They've got MO1, MO2, Where's MO2 gone? Have they got MO2? Yeah, they have. No, MO2, everything. So they're just reshuffling. They're doing rigless testing and all that stuff. They're just reshuffling the order of workflow because there's a delay in the rigs there again. Something's happened there.
So, there we are. But, I was talking to an investor in the oil and gas sector the other day.
Yeah.
And they were saying that there might be a bit of an issue around rig availability.
All right, okay.
Yeah. Worth keeping an eye on.
Why is that then? So who's so basically, again, picks and shovels, John, go for the rig operators rather than people looking for the resources.
Well, it's because you know, it's all to do with, again, it's all to do with capital flows. You know, there was the whole world is moving away from fossil fuels. And so actually, you know, the construction of new rigs was not happening in the way that it was during the years when oil exploration was in full swing. And then, of course, oil and gas prices bounce back and suddenly everyone wants to start drilling again because it's worth doing again, but the rigs aren't there because no one's built them. And obviously the cost of building anything, you know, in the last year or two because of the, you know, inflationary effects is significantly higher. And this is not just oil and gas, it applies to renewables as well. You know, I was reading something about wind turbines. Cost of building a wind turbine has increased between 20 and 40%. Across the supply chain over the last year, which is why you're seeing some of the big wind offshore wind projects cancelled.
Yeah, and conversely, have you seen the solar panels have come down by almost like 90% in the last 20 years?
Much easier to make.
Yeah. By the way, he's a huge bargain. No, Super Mono, I like that. The best thing about Metro Bank were the wonderful umbrellas they gave away a few years back when you opened an account. I'd love Metro Bank as your business plan. And what we'll do to encourage people to open an account, we give them an umbrella. Oh, okay, brilliant. Excellent idea. So essentially, what people are doing are saving on the price of an umbrella, opening an account, do they have to put any money in? No. So you could just give it away.
It was a very strange experience going into
It was an American guy, wasn't it? I don't know where it was in London, the first one they opened in London.
Yeah,
he was a big American, with all his dogs, breakfast with his dogs in their shops,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Yeah, dog bowls, dogs in the ads, dog bowls in the back branches. It was all very, very odd.
Yeah, Super Mono says, otherwise, huge waiting times to get counter service until you cannot get a mini statement from their cash machines. Yeah, everything in P6GLA said, everything in moderation, 5 Greggs steak bakes. Yes, we can't go a video webinar mentioning Greggs. Is there a place to find? Oh, by the way, someone said Metro has a 5.5% short position, currently short sold. Craig said, is there a place where you can get? Yes, it is. Hang on. Short tracker. Let me just, here we go. Share screen.
Who's short up? Tracker. Who's on the short tracker?
So if we go here, you can top 5.
They're new positions, shorted, aren't they? Down below. So they're new positions.
Look at that. See all. Top 5 most shorted. These are the new positions here. Yeah, these are the most shorted. So ASOS is number 1. Boohoo 2. Wow, this isn't good. Metro. Hargreaves Lansdown. Hargreaves is there. Wow, that's and makes their share price, the volatility in their share price, if you see, it doesn't make any sense sometimes. You're like, it will be up and down. There's no, you know, it's a range, yes, but it's quite a big range. And you realize that's why it's so jumpy, because this, so it's shorttracker.co.uk. So Metro is number 3 on the list, 5.5% of their things shorted. Sainsbury's is there. ITM Power. Very interesting. I think.
Ocado is there.
Yes, there we are. I'm sure Future was on there.
Probably, but then it goes back to that point, doesn't it? When a company is in the doghouse and can come out and say, actually, everything's okay. And it's often after a period where things haven't been necessarily okay, then that's a time when you might see some large bounces.
Yeah.
We did see it with Ocado. Yeah, we did see it with Ocado. Yeah. You know, and if Tesco's numbers are anything to go by, Sainsbury's, you know, should. And that's certainly no guarantee of it, because Sainsbury's has been a management horror story for quite some time.
Okay.
But it should see a bounce.
It's time for John's plug time. You have to say, John, I do hold shares in this company, but one of the most read today is HVivo.
Well, it's hardly a plug.
HVivo. Go on then, what's happening there?
It's one of their challenge trial customers has basically put some good results out. Some good results of a flu trial at Flu Camp, which is where it does its where it runs, it's clinical trials, it's human challenge trials.
Are we going to flu camp this year? Are we going to flu camp, mummy, this year? Flu camp. It makes it sound like fun, doesn't it?
yeah. So it's good. It's good news. It's basically what we want to see is these challenge trials working, and their customers coming out with positive results from the trials that they can then use to expedite the development of medicine. So the shares were, oh, what is this? Symptomatic influenza, yeah, blah, 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 blah. It's a company called Pneumagen.
I must admit,
know all the companies that they're working with. I don't know if they say, in fact, but this we know, and this is validation of what they do.
Oh, mummy, please can we go to flu camp again this year? We've really enjoyed it last year, mummy.
£4,500.
Listen, I know, I'm going to say, that's a way...
I'd infect my children with flu for £4,500.
Yeah, but you know what? No. But the thing is, John, if you went there, right, get paid £4,500, that's like a dividend. You just buy shares in hVIVO. Every time they open up the flu camp, you go again. You have to buy shares in the company. And say, you are a customer, you're getting data, and you're buying shares with their payments. That's
I'm not camp. Sure. I don't know how many times you'd be allowed to return to flu camp.
If you did a Venn diagram of infectious disease. Yeah, I'm scared of typing in sites up there just in case they get pre-suggested. But so far, short track and flu camp. There's not many people who will do those two searches in within a few minutes. Overlap there. But hVIVO, yeah, doing
well. These trials are going to get bigger. Remember, what we talked about recently, it's actually opening a larger facility in the Docklands. So, trials are going to get bigger. And bigger.
I like the chart. So when you get a rapid rise at that, generally isn't sustainable. It has to come back. But what's nice here, like I said, if you look at that 200-day moving average, perfect. Look at that. Boom, boom, boom. Rising up, both rise. That is now a start of an uptrend. It may have a little bit of congestion at around that level where it previously got a high. Yeah. And you can see this level here. Look at that. Before you can see this congestion there, around about this sort of 20 pence level. Once it breaks out, I like that, because now you've got the parallel lines of the 50-day and 20-day. That's looking nice. Could break out there. It needs to break about 20.
It's properly steady. It's it's a proper business.
It's a proper business, I know.
Proper business, growing well, really good science behind it, really well run. Plug. Share price that's sort of behaving normally, as you would expect. So, yeah, I'm really happy with this one.
Yeah, mining revenue for Argo blockchain is up to 3.59, increased 23%. They did take on a bit of debt, Argo blockchain, but they've been hammered since they expanded. An example of a victim of the easy flow of money when Bitcoin, everything was rallying, it took on debt, and all of a sudden now, Bitcoin fell off a cliff, and so they're earning less from the Bitcoin mining, and they had debt to pay as well. So literally double leveraged the Bitcoin price and to debt, which is never a good thing. So what else we got? Anything else? Truefin. Oh, we talked about Truefin. They sold Virtus, which is nice. Virtus was the boring part of the company. It was steady. It was making a little bit of profit, but me included, I said, just get rid of Virtus. So they have. They've got 3.2 million. That, in addition to what they have now, in cash, sees them enough cash to profitability, and that's 2025 pretty much. And then it really starts to take off. I think Satago will be taken out. I think Lloyds will probably buy it. Lloyds have got a 5 million stake in it. I think Satago, who Lloyds are using and Sage are using and a Challenger Bank are using, I think will be taken out eventually. That's part of the deal.
It's not on the list. Oh, there it is, down the bottom. Light Science Tech. They've appointed a consultant to basically accelerate their I would say largely international growth. Quite an experienced industry guy in the world of controlled environment agriculture.
Yeah.
What were they called? The potato things. I forget the name.
That was good.
So this is basically a guy who's been in this world of polytunnel and greenhouse agriculture. It's been appointed by Life Science Technologies to really transformative trip. Reduced input potatoes.
Just remember the word trip. Transformative reduced input potatoes. Would you like to buy some, madam? No, thanks. Okay, how much is potatoes?
this is really... I think it's quite a good looking appointment, just to power sales of their lighting, sensors, control systems, which they got through this recent acquisition, TomTech, which one can only assume is Tomato Tech. You think I'm joking?
Tomato Tech, is that it?
Transformers produced into tomato. Trit. Yeah.
they can carry on with these, can't they? It's good. Yeah. Okay.
This guy's done it before with a previous company. So, yeah, the shares are up on news. It's fairly small and liquid. But, you know, again, I was looking at the numbers. So, the half year results were great. Three and a bit million quid revenue, 0.8 million pre-tax loss. So it's pre-tax or operating. Forecast for this year is 10.9 million aggregate sales and a pre-tax loss of just under a million. So, you know, for a company that's only valued at 8 million quid and has there's a big market. And growing market for this kind of technology.
Well, they should be growing. It's growing with reduced input. That's what they need the business for. Reduced input, growing business. Same as their tomatoes and the potatoes.
I like what it's doing.
Craig says, I'm not sure if you covered DEC. Yeah, we did cover that. I was trying to get through the financial reports, but they've hidden them. It's not. It clicks to their website and they click that and download. And essentially, they've got debt.
Debt worries, I think. Debt is worries.
Debt worry is quite big. So it's not just selling off for no reason. It's like about a billion of debt. Where is it? Any interest in student property provider, Unite? Q3 update showed strong demand and rental growth.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those areas you think is it slightly insulated from worries? Because you're always going to have a certain amount of students and you're going to... university, in fact, I did see the drop in figures recently saying less people are going because of the cost of living crisis and all that stuff. But they are a biggish sort of company, 3.5 billion.
Great company.
Q3. In fact, Grainger, which is a bit smaller, is in a similar space, isn't it? I think. So they've got a trading update at Q3. So 99.7% occupancy. Skiving the rest of the market.
It's bouncing back from, the pandemic was obviously not great for student property providers. Both kids staying at home, but also then, you know, the kids that did eventually make it back to university being sort of locked into their halls of residence. It's had a pretty tough period, a pretty tough time, and you know, it's sort of bouncing back from that. But yeah, university admissions are on the up.
Look at that from 2016. That is straight up pretty much a nice little, from £5 up to £13. But then once you get that, you've got the, as I said, dash for cash crash for COVID. And it's been a bit messy since then. But have to consolidate a bit there.
But it's like any property company, you know, will have, and I'll just look at the net borrowings, you know, 1.3 billion of net borrowings. This is the nature of property. Borrow to build, it requires a lot of money up front to build these things that then generate revenue over time. So the interest rate cycle is not great for any property company, which is why you've seen the sell-off recently.
Yeah, but the difference is, I mean, they are a 3.5 billion company. Like I said, DEC has a billion of debt and it's 700 million. So the debt is bigger than the market cap. Grainger, I'm sure, had a result. And Grainger is the same, isn't it? Doesn't Grainger do... Is a special residential property founded Grainger Trust? Oh, it's residential, is it?
Yeah, it's resi. It was used to be to do with social housing, tenanted homes.
Oh, so they buy homes to rent. Okay. It's more of a move towards that. In fact,
it used to be the old Grainger model was basically council houses. You know, it owned them. People had the right to live in them. You know, council tenants had the right to live in them for their entire lives. And really, when they died, the ownership of those homes would revert to Grainger. I think it got out of that. But, build to rent is what it's doing now.
There's only so much out of late to UTG. There's more companies doing this now because the rental market is very buoyant. In fact, one of the stories here is literally look at that. The average queue for tenants requesting to view rental property has lengthened from 20 to 25 months in 5 months. So it's gone up massively. There's so many people looking for, it's just hard to rent. Look at that. Average rent for a new let outside London is a record 1,275 per month. That's a lot, isn't it?
That is a lot. I mean,
10% in July, from July to September. So it's, you know, it's a very buoyant market. I know, wasn't that part of Dame Sharon White's now just stepped down from John Lewis? Wasn't she intending to get into that and sell off some of the shares and invest it? And I'm sure
John Lewis.
Yeah, I'm sure that was one of her ideas. And then she canned the idea. I said, "Hang on a second, Sharon, we've got a shop to run.
Yeah,
and you've got to offer a different direction." So I think that's one of the things that. And then she wanted to sell some of the shares off to raise money for John Lewis. And so I quite like the ideas of that. Just throwing ideas around. If it's not working,
monkey tennis. I mean, it's very Alan Partridge. I saw a very unkind comment.
It's not as radical as monkey tennis.
I did see a comment that says, you know, what were they thinking? You know, employing someone without any retail experience who then decided to come in and turn the strategy away from retail. I mean, it was a disaster. John Lewis has been disastrous. But this is sort of, this goes back. And I can't remember who I was reading this, who'd said this. But he basically said, John Stepek, who writes for Bloomberg. He used to be the editor of Money Week. He said, actually, a lot of retailers are doing fine. We only hear the negative headlines. And actually, a lot of the negative performances at specific retailers are coming from company-specific issues. And John Lewis is one of them. It's bad management. Superdry. Yesterday they've sold off a big chunk of their intellectual property to, I think it's Reliance. So, bad management.
Yeah, about 5 years ago, right, my wife bought me a Superdry hoodie and then... I quite liked it. She started buying me, because I never buy clothes myself. And she bought all Superdry. And I hated the Superdry big logos across everywhere. And I hated it. I didn't want a logo on my T-shirt at all or anything. I didn't want a logo. And I realized, literally, this is a cyclicality of fashion. That was quite fashionable. Why? The big Superdry and then Japanese things. And then all of a sudden, I hated it. And I'm not having any more. So I threw all my Superdry stuff out. And I don't know if they're still doing the same kind of stuff with logos all over them and stuff. But I can't see that lasting. You know, fashion is very cyclical. I don't want any logos on my stuff. So Chinese students, are they up or down? They prop up the universities and imagine rental. It's from Phil. Gregory, when is the next news from Destiny Farmer expected? Well, that's the thing. See, Gregory, it doesn't pay the trading out of Destiny Farmer because they could announce a deal tomorrow. I genuinely believe that. They are in chats. They've got many people in the data room and it'll be gangbusters. It won't be like 5-10% rise. That's what I believe.
Chinese student intake. That's actually very true. Let's have a look. 1 month ago, UCAS figures show a drop in Chinese students.
I saw a drop in students' numbers this year from somewhere. I got picked out from somewhere. I don't know where Watkin Jones does student rental.
Yeah,
it fills the question there. Any thoughts on?
There's another one called Empiric Student Property.
Okay, well let's look at Watkins. Is that Watkin Jones? Watkin Jones? That sounds like in class with someone, doesn't it? Watkin Jones, come here to the front of class. It's like a Welsh teacher. Watkin Jones, look at that for a chart. I don't want to share the screen. That's not nice. Stay away from it. It's a massive downtrend. If you think it's going to have good recovery potential, just put an alert on it. Mm. Do fundamental research, then put an alert in the chart if it's in a downtrend. Forget about it. Then move on to the next one. Do some more fundamental research, and then put the chart alert on it.
Empiric looks like the best of the bunch for performance wise.
What's Empiric?
Empiric. Don't worry about it, Justin. Take my word for it. ESP.
ESP?
Empiric Student Property.
Oh, there, that's flat. Yeah, there we are.
Yeah, best.
That shows strength in the market there. Yeah, because the other ones are going down. So that shows a bit of strength. And you can see, two things to avoid. Downtrends and ranges. Ranges, not too bad if you get a dividend, but you don't want to stay in a range too long. Just boring. It lasts for 2 years. So all you're looking for is uptrends. This. Anything else? Oh, by the way, just a couple more. So risers, Sirius Minerals, a nano cap. They found, digging around in the dirt, they found some good grades. So what? There's a long way to go to monetize that. But, it's only 2 million, so it goes up. So, What else is there? Anything else? Carefree again. Smooth, they've accepted the deal, or yeah. They recommend accepting a 56 pence thing it was.
Nice company.
Lots of cash. One. I liked what they were doing there. So digitizing and bringing it together, you know, conveyancing. Because at the moment, we're having a massive problem with solicitors and conveyancing.
Yeah.
And
the only thing I noticed was Ramsden's, which is a sort of pawnbroking business. Pawnbroking.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we get retail and FX, and you know it's a nice little company. They're going to deliver record profits this year,
63 million.
Shares are up nicely. The reason I'm mainly interested in this is because I own shares in another pawnbroker, which is H&T.
Oh yeah, you do. Yeah, H&T.
Both of them. You know, shares in H&T are up a little bit. You know, in sympathy, as they tend to be when you get, you know, good news from across the sector, nice read across as they call it. But H&T is my interest. Ramsden's just
that is called a death cross.
Oh, a death cross.
There we are. The 50-day crossing down or the 200-day. I mean, it can be. It depends where we are. But I mean, it happened here. It didn't really play out too much. You see, it came down here. But as you can see, it spiked up. And I just looking at the ranges here. Look at this. So you got, you know, higher highs happening, higher lows. That's a very good sign, right? And then you go up here, and say, hang on, and you can use the 200-day moving average, but it's broken down through that. It hasn't done that for a while. Why is it doing that? So, and that just seemed like quite a big fall. It bounced a little bit there, so
yeah.
It may have to go into a range for a while. Doesn't mean it's going to go down. It may just have to go into a range for a while, so. But
but
it seems like the uptrend there is has been put on hold a little bit.
Well, nice profit growth. You know, as I say, it's we are you know. There is half of the market. There is the half of the market with who own their homes outright, who are, you know, happily spending money in shops, and there are the other half who are struggling. And, you know, pawnbrokers are there for that market. These shares are cheap as chips. 8.1 times 23 earnings. H&T even cheaper, 7.7 times.
Oh, okay. Come on, let's look at H&T. What's the chart like at H&T? That's not too bad because it's had a rally here. It's coming round. It is under the thing.
Yeah.
But again, it may have to go into a range, that, John. I'm sorry. You may have to hold those for a lot. Do they pay dividend?
Yeah.
That's not bad. See, it goes into a range. It's fine. You're accumulating shares there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And just last couple of bits of headlines there. Drop in consumers buying electric cars as new number plates are released. Doesn't Rishi Sunak understand? Why does he get some advice from his father-in-law, who's a businessman? Do they ever ask any business people about the repercussions, their thoughts and their ideas? They, oh, this is a good idea. They knock it around the table with the cabinet. Let's extend electrification and all this stuff by 5 years. All of a sudden, people just stop buying electric cars. And there are manufacturers of cars who employ thousands of people, you know, invested billions to electrify their cars. Now, oh, my God.
I promise myself I wouldn't talk about politics today. I had
too
many laughs yesterday watching some speeches.
Did you see Penny Mordaunt?
Yeah,
stand up and fight.
Was she drunk or what?
I thought she was drunk. Stand up and fight, Penny Mordaunt. Stand up and fight.
I couldn't.
You drunk, love.
I couldn't get through it. I saw an amazing comment on Twitter that I'm going to remember this for the future. Someone said, I'm going to have major surgery to uncurl my toes.
We should know that. But this will stop people buying. Look at that, Singapore, the cost of a certificate to own a large family car in Singapore has jumped to a fresh high of $146,000. To own a car, you have to buy a certificate for that. So, for example, a new standard Toyota Camry hybrid costs $250,000 in Singapore.
Which is quite right. It's a city state, and you know it's the way that cities should go. I mean, and if you have a good public transport infrastructure within a city and there are other ways of getting around, then why own a car?
That's not right. What do you mean it's not right?
The war on motorists. You know, I'm gonna sort of say something that people probably won't like, but you know, I live out in the country. If I want to get around, I need a car. But if you live in a city, what do you need a car for?
Exactly. If the government provide decent infrastructure, which is as easy as a car to get around. I understand in London you don't, because the infrastructure is very good. You've got the tube, Crossrail, all that stuff. But there are certain cities, it's not that good. Buses, so if it's, yeah, I understand. If it's just luxury, fair enough. But if you need it, but how do you, and then again, if you did do that, You'd have people moving out of the country because they won't own a car, and your house prices would go up. People couldn't buy houses in the country then. So,
well, you can't buy houses in the country because the holiday makers use them as holiday lets.
Just leave the market doing its due, people.
Up the road here, get Chelsea.
When you force false restrictions on anything. Right, it's like trying to squash a balloon. An air bubble pops up somewhere else. You can't distort the market. Let the market do what the market needs to do. It'll be sorted out sooner or later. The market sorts it out in the end.
Singapore have a slightly different approach. It's more of a very capitalist society, but it is a planned economy in many regards.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, a very nice place to live.
Okay. Riffisosoff says, last one. Phil says, typical, a company I know is in a downtrend. Ha. Watkin Jones, does development for student accommodation to sell on, also residential? We'll look at this tomorrow. Any thoughts on Crest? How to value it? GDP over 12 billion. Okay. We'll have a look at that. Crest, John, put on your list, right?
Crest, house builders.
I'll have a dig at that, and then he never does. Yep, I'll put on my list. I'll write it down there. Throw the paper in the bin. Thanks very much. Cheers.
No, I'll have a look at house builders. I can always find something nice to say.
That's it. Same time tomorrow. It is Friday tomorrow. Friday tomorrow, 12 o'clock, Rock, for taking stock. Check out there. Thanks, John. Speak tomorrow. Thanks for having me.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.